The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
The Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, today introduced draft legislation which will see significant reforms to dog breeding and puppy farms in Ireland. The Dog Breeding Establishments Bill of 2026 will see a marked change in ensuring ethical breeding practices and in strengthening animal welfare standards for that sector nationwide. And Martin Hayden, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine and Fine Gael TD for Kildare South, joins us now. Good evening to you, Minister. Can you start by laying out for us what is new in this legislation? What kind of difference will it make?
Good evening to you, Ciara, and your listeners. And look, this legislation that I brought forward and got approved at Cabinet today is all about improving animal welfare through more stringent breeding controls and mandatory staffing requirements in dog breeding establishments. It'll strengthen consumer protections and traceability in the sale of pups, close critical enforcement gaps, and empower authorities with really effective tools, and enhance transparency through online publication of local authority registers as well. And then it'll provide me and future ministers for agriculture with flexibility to respond to evolving EU and international animal welfare standards into the future. And really what this is about improving the experience for young dogs when they're bred, and for the breeding females who, you know, it is an area that has, I felt very strongly, has needed tightening up in terms of dog breeding establishments. There was an act there since 2010, and this is a very significant overhaul of that legislation, which will introduce a lifetime limit on the amount of litters a breeding female can have, how many can be had in the years, and, you know, banning third-party sales. So, like, a third-party sale is how many of your listeners would have bought their much-loved family pet, their dog, in a car park, in a public car park, from somebody, not knowing where they had been bred or how long they've been with their mother for that puppy. This is, you know, bringing in very stringent rules that the purchase for a puppy under 6 months of age will have to happen in the establishment where they were bred. The biological mother needs to be present, and the person buying the puppy has to be able to see the biological mother. And limiting breeding females to just one litter per year is really important, you know, that there is enough time for socialization and for the puppy to be with its mother as is natural, and that they're not taken away earlier, and there does not undue stress put on the breeding female as well.
Okay, so you said lifetime limit. Is that a dog, a breeding female dog will have a limit on the number of litters they're allowed to have over their lifetime? What will that limit be?
Yeah, so the lifetime limit will be 4 litters per breeding dog. It's extendable to 6 if there's a written veterinary approval. But if the breeding female has had 2 cesarean sections, that's the maximum she can have. And that will be the limit. We're also introducing a minimum and a maximum. So the minimum will be 12 months of age before you can breed from a female dog, and the maximum will be 8 years of age. You know, this is about making sure that there's more structure put on this, but a ban on inbreeding is something remarkably that hasn't existed in legislation previous to this, and is obviously not in anybody's interest that you would have inbreeding. So this legislation will include a ban on inbreeding and breeding dogs, you know, enhance those requirements for socialization and of dogs in their environment, that they get to spend more time with their mother, which is what should happen.
Well, I was going to ask you, Minister, is there going to be a time limit that the dogs can't be sold before the age of 8 weeks or 12 weeks or a time limit along those lines?
Yes, so 8 weeks, and it's after 8 weeks, and it's up to 6 months that they have to be in the breeding establishment, so that we can be sure that the puppy is still with its mother during that period of socialization and habitation. Removing that third party sales piece will ensure really full transparency for prospective buyers. But also what I'm doing is in bringing in much stronger enforcement and penalties. This legislation, dog breeders who do this in a very good way have not interfered with this, but this will differentiate between good practice and bad practice. And for those who aren't in compliance, the legislation will be significantly enhanced. Fines of up to €250,000 or imprisonment for serious offences. And all new breeding establishments will be subject to mandatory inspection prior to registration. They'll all have to register, and it'll formalise the existing practice and place it on.
So supposing somebody, which is a very common way people do this, they go on to one of the websites like Dundeal, where you know the other ones where you can sort of trading websites where you can buy pets, you can buy dogs and cats and what have you.
Will people, when they go looking at someone and someone says, I have a lovely litter of cockapoos or something, but then they say, you know, we're based in Wexford, and they drive down to Wexford, and they do go to somebody's house, but there's a big shed out the back and they are in the kitchen and they bring in the puppies and they bring in the bitch and all of that. Are people expected to know whether or not this breeder has complied with the one per year? How would people know? Will there be, I suppose, inspections, or will there be a case that everybody who sells animals now will have to be registered in some way?
Exactly. So there's going to be a formalised publication of a national register of dog breeding establishments. So the shed that you would be visiting in Wexford, as you've described, would have to be on a national register of dog breeding, and that'll improve the transparency for consumers and regulators. So our authorised officers, who are our dog wardens under the control of our local authorities, will have enhanced powers, and these new powers to seize and detain dogs where welfare breaches are suspected, and local authorities will be able to recover costs associated with any animal seizure and care in cases where there has been a breach of this. So what the person buying the puppy will need to do is they have to be buying it from the establishment where the puppy has been born up to 6 months of age, and they have to be able to see the biological mother. It's not up to them to necessarily know that that establishment is on a national register, but the national if anywhere is breeding dogs and is advertising on Dundee or anywhere else, then obviously it'd be very easy to be found and to be identified by local authorities.
And will there be people checking that? Because as you say, the person buying it is not an expert or a professional purchaser. So they're just looking for a pet.
Absolutely. So your dog warden and your local authority structure and our authorised officers within the Department of Agriculture obviously will be doing inspections. But similarly, we too will look through these websites that show puppies for sale, and we can do on-the-spot checks. If you are selling your pup individually, obviously the need to be able to show that that pup has been is still with its mother still stands.
Okay, so just because I'm not fully clear, Minister, if somebody wants to breed, a much loved family pet, one or two litters from their own pet dog, do they need to register?
No. So if you are six dogs or less, you don't need to register. Six breeding dogs or less, you do not need to register as a dog breeding establishment. A dog breeding establishment is a commercial activity that is seven breeding dogs or more.
Right. Minister, just a couple of other things before I let you go. Obviously, the government is approving legislation to assign the Controller and Auditor General as the auditor of RTE, which it previously was back before the 90s. First of all, how has it taken this long? The issue with Ryan Tuberty's pay is several years old now. And now we discover, years down the line, that the whole list of presenters' pay has been inaccurate for the last, not just in regard to Ryan Tuberty, but has been inaccurate for the past 8 years. How has that been allowed to happen?
I don't know the answer to that, but I'm as frustrated as everybody else that this issue has arisen, that we're not in the phase of rebuilding people's confidence in RTE as the national broadcaster. It is beyond frustrating that we find that the information that had been shared both at Oireachtas committees to members of the Dáil and beyond, it is really frustrating for us that that's a situation is still here. I absolutely welcome the RTE coming in under the Controller and Auditor General. It should never have been taken away from that. And we have other, arms of the state that don't come under that level of scrutiny either. And, we as politicians and as government are held responsible when things don't happen right. And I think there's a strong case for extending the Controller and Auditor General further and those powers. But in relation to RTE, this is the right move to make in that space, and it is frustrating that we are in a space where we are still learning more revelations about how...
And are politicians annoyed about this? Because this is the latest round of this is, of course, because of Derek Mooney, who, as far as we are aware, is blameless in all of this. We're not suggesting otherwise. But that his role was recategorised from a presenter to a producer, even though he clearly continues to be a presenter. He presents a show. It's a de facto role that we can all see. But... the perception, obviously we don't know what the motivation for that sort of configuration was, and we can't suggest that we do, but the perception is that it was designed to mislead, that this is RTE kind of not fully transparent, not fully coming forward with how they account for things, and particularly in the light of the 750 million bailout that they got last year, that this simply isn't good enough.
Yeah, and like, well, from my perspective, I'm appalled by that. And, you know, you frame the question in the context of how the information was imparted out to the public. But what is just as striking for me is the inequity with how different members of staff were treated within the organisation. This seemed to be a very subjective thing. This seemed to be some people got treated one way and other members of staff got treated another. And that's not to pass any comment on the individuals involved, but it does not seem to be have been a uniform approach. It absolutely was not any kind of a pay structure that was published, that was transparent, that was uniform. There was a subjective decision made here how to categorise people and the work they did. And some people, it was like round pegs put into square holes in terms of...
An inexplicable decision on how they were categorised, because people who were actually clearly presenters, now not presenters. I mean, do we know, are there other presenters who are not presenters?
We don't, and I'm sure my colleague Minister Patrick O'Donovan is hoping to get a full outlay of the facts in his meetings with RTE this afternoon. But like, that gets to the heart of this, that like, if this wasn't a structured element, if we had presenters being described and categorised as producers and vice versa, well then who's making those decisions and what oversight was there on those decisions? This is public money. And, you know, if these things were happening, well, why were they happening and where was the level of oversight?
Okay. Maybe lastly on all of this, why has it taken so long for this legislation to be passed with regard to the Controller and Auditor General? I mean, there was talk of this literally 3 years ago.
This has been a lengthy period of time waiting for this legislation. I understand the Attorney General's office had a considerable body of work to do with it as well. And there was a number of different elements feeding into it. So it has been a huge body of work that has gone into this. And it's something that we is overdue.
Okay. Maybe lastly, Minister, obviously a vigil took place on Henry Street in Dublin this afternoon. This is following the death of a Congolese man who had been detained after an alleged episode of shoplifting and subsequently died. Very distressing videos being shared on social media. In terms of what happens now, because people are, I think, rightly outraged that even if it were true, and I'm not suggesting it is because I have no idea, but even if it were true that an episode of shoplifting had occurred, losing your life over petty crime is not something that we would ever want to see in this country. What is going to happen now? There's going to be a Garda investigation, but is there more that needs to happen in the wake of this?
So I've obviously heard media reports in relation to this, haven't seen the footage, but first of all, just want to pass on my deep condolences to all the bereaved here in a dreadful turn of events when anybody loses their life in any circumstance. And what we need is a proper investigation. I don't know the facts. I don't know the cause of death. And I don't know the situation there. And we have a very robust judicial legal system in this country that does ascertain those facts. For the people involved, for everybody involved, it's really important for the deceased family, for justice to prevail, but also for people who may, by association, now, you know, have questions being asked of them due to footage. They too are entitled to the full process of the law in how that pertains. And I expect, you know, a rigorous investigation of all the facts here, as there would be in any such circumstances of an unexplained death or a death in these circumstances.
All right. Look, thank you very much for joining us, Minister. That is Minister Martin Hayden, their Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.